It's the Stay Connected Podcast right here on 93.5. We are Fox Sports New Jersey. How we all doing? My name is Jared Eastman, bringing you all things esports related. So today is a little bit of a continuation from last episode, where we're going to be talking about TFT Set 9 and all the bells and whistles that come with it, as well as the latest update from Riot about the next patch. I'm excited about that. And finally, if we have time, a little bit of an update about the LCS walkout that is still ongoing as of right now. So let's talk all about it right here on 93.5 for Fox Sports. So if you were listening last episode, I left you a little bit off on a cliffhanger. You can watch that episode on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com under the Stay Connected Podcast tab. Talking about TFT Set 9, what I think will be one of the most impressive sets to date. Mainly because of their latest regional portals game mechanic. If you didn't listen at last episode, what this basically is at the beginning of the game, you are going to now have a choice between three different regional portals out of a pool of, like, you know, all of the, nine regions of League. So you're going to have Bandle City, Freljord, The Void, the Shadow Isles, Shurima, Ionia, Piltover, Noxus, and Targon. Three of those nine, every game, will be choice of players. And each portal, chosen by the majority, will have an effect on the game. So let's go over this one by one, because some of these are really crazy. Some of them are similar to others, and some, I think, are going to be not as good as others. Starting off with Bandle City. Every PvE, which is player versus environment round, there's there's one every round. So total of, I think, five. That's usually the max these PvE rounds go to, if you're going to six. I don't even think that's possible. Actually, let me think about it. Hold on. Right now it is, if it's counting the three at the beginning, then there's more. If it's not, then it's only Krugs, Wolves, Morgana, and then, Aurelion's Soul for this patch, because that was the whole theme. It's only those four, I believe. If it's counting the three minions, then it's, seven. Seven. So, every PvE round is going to be replaced by Scuttle Crabs, and these will drop extra loot, money, and items. Perfect. So basically, Bandle City, it's just going to help you get, richer or complete that item faster, or even give you some extra items to work with. Or even, by loot, I think it would probably mean, a Reforger, an equip item, or even training dummy, which is just like a frontline thing that doesn't move and can take damage for your team. Moving on to Freljord, you're going to gain a consumable at stage 4-5. That's pretty late in the game. That's the transition from mid to late game, I'd say. When you use it on a unit, it allows you to upgrade one of the unit's items into its radiant version. Radiant versions of items are far more powerful than the basic item. Moving on to Void now. Let's talk about that for a second. I think that's helpful. 4-5 is pretty late in the game. I understand why it's that late, because by then you should have your carry, and you should at least have one item on your carry. I'm curious to see how it works. So, it says it allows you to upgrade one of the unit's items into its radiant version. Do you get to choose? If I have three items on my Samira carry, and I use this consumable, Will a menu pop up that allows me to pick which one becomes a radiant, or do I get no choice in the matter? It'd be interesting to see. Void. Void is going to give you an unstable completed item that pops off and transforms into a random item every round. Not the best, not the worst. You know, it's helpful, I guess. You know, I can't really. This isn't a game changer like the other ones. It's just an extra item. You know, how much damage is it really gonna do? Moving on to Thresh's Sanctum, which is from the Shadow Idols. When any champion dies, get this, you collect their soul. Every 40 souls you collect, you gain loot. Not bad. It's gaining loot with a condition. I like it. I want to see where you go with this. You know, what kind of loot is going to be in the pool to drop? Because that implies some RNG into this. And it also definitely means win streaking with this is way better than lose streaking. You know, this is a very that's actually an important aspect that I haven't been covering. The other ones before, you know, you could lose streak or win streak with those other options. Doesn't really matter. Shadow Isles is the first regional one I've seen here that it actually kind of matters because you need to kill more champions so you get more souls, so you get loot more often. So win streaking here is vastly important. All right, moving over to Shurima. You're gonna transform a later PvE round into a loot-filled treasure armory. Ooh, see, when you say the word armory, I'm thinking Ornn items or Radiant items, stuff to that nature. That's what I think when I hear the word armory. I think that's gonna be important. And especially, it says a later PvE round. Doesn't say exactly when, like we saw with Freljord, where it says the specific round. It says round 4-5 for Freljord. For Shurima, it's just a later one. If there is a designated one for that, I'm not seeing it here, or at least where I'm looking. Maybe I'd have to dive a little deeper for that, or ask people who have been playing the PvE, like my buddy Nico. I could ask him. If he's played Shurima and if he's seen that. Though overall, PvE, I think it could be helpful in, you know, the early stages of the game. That's kind of where I would see the most use of it, coming from somebody who likes to lose streak. I like to lose streak. I like to get that gold because it's harder to win streak, especially if you're in a strong lobby. You know, losing is easy, but winning is hard. So coming from a early game PvE round for a loot-filled treasure armory, that might be the section of the game where I'm able to transition into a win streak. I like that. Ionia creates a grove on your bench. Champions placed in this grove contribute to your traits as if they were on your board. This is one of the most interesting ones, in my opinion. Like just the thought of it. So basically, how it works, if you don't understand the game of TFT, I highly suggest you listen back to previous episodes where I've talked about the mechanics of TFT. It's one of our earliest episodes on the Stay Connected podcast. Basically, you have champions that all have different traits. You know, for this set specifically, we'll have like Demacia or Noxious. Or Noxus, or even Piltover, you know, Regents, Yordles, Shurima, all those different types of units. And those are the traits. These traits have special abilities depending how many champions from that trait you have. You know, so for example, Noxus, we'll talk about some of these traits later, though. One of the ones is Noxus units gain bonus stats as you beat players in other lobby. Some of the units this trait seem to be like Kassadin, Swain, Darius, Sion. So obviously the bonus stats that you get depends on how many champions from Noxus you have. Either way, this would allow you to have, let's say you're at level 5, and the next tier for Noxus is level 6. So you need 6 champions from Noxus, but you're level 5, and you really don't want to spend gold to level up to level 6. You could use this grove to put a Noxus champion that you don't have on that grove. You'll have 6 Noxus. That is really actually helpful for some of the builds. I'm trying to apply it to this set that I have right now. One that I'm thinking of is like Quick Draw. You don't want a 1-star Lucian to give you Quick Draw 4, but with this, you can have it anyway, and the 3 champions you are using that are higher levels, higher tier, do more damage, will get the added bonus of that 4th tier Quick Draw, which does like extra damage. I like that. I like Ionia a lot. Ionia might be one of my favorites right now, just because it actually, you know, doesn't give you loot. It doesn't just give you like treasure or whatever. This is an actual game mechanic change. Jace's Workshop in Piltover is also a huge one, and it is going to be probably one of a fan favorite, if I'm not mistaken. It's for players who are like, I want to have a crazy game. So basically what it's going to do is all augments in the game, which you get 3 augments because I've heard that they're taking out hero augments. Fantastic. Couldn't agree more. I hate hero augments. But all 3 augments that you get throughout the game will all be prismatic. What does that mean? Prismatic augments in TFT are basically the highest tier of augments you can get. You know, you have your regular silver augments, which are, you know, the most common that you see. You have gold augments, which are a step above. They are a step above silver. So, like, let's say, I'm trying to think of an example here. The best example I can think of is I can't remember the name of it, where your champions gain stats while on your bench up to 3 tiers as a level 1. Level 4 would be like, all right, 4 tiers, and they'll gain a little bit more stats. Or it'll be 3 tiers, but they gain a little bit more stats. Prismatics is like the next tier above that. It'd be like, oh, they gain a bunch of stats for 3 tiers and this and that, you know. I have examples of prismatic augments right here. So, Bodyguard's Crown. So you're going to gain 2 Bodyguard emblems, which cannot be offered as second or third choice augments unless you have the Bodyguard trait active. So you can only get this example of an augment if you had the Bodyguard trait. I like that. I like stuff like that. And it's like, oh, if you're going it, you have a higher chance of getting it. Because I've seen so many times where my augments are like, this doesn't help my team at all. It's just a waste. Here's a actual example of you gain 2 Thieves Gloves. Just straight out. 2. Here you go. That's like, you know, a possible of 4 total completed items right there. That's a huge change compared to the gold version, which may just give you 1 Thief Glove. So that's a perfect example right there. I like it. This is going to make the game hectic, especially with things like rerolls to where you can really find the perfect one. You know, there's ones that let you have extra members of your team. There's ones that when you level up, instead of gaining 4 XP, you gain 7. I mean, it's great. I like Piltover a lot. I feel like that's going to be my favorite one just because I like things to be a little hectic. Now let's go to Noxus region. We're at 2 more. Before we take a break. Each time you take an augment, a random arena hex appears. Units on the arena hex gain an item that they can use. Not my favorite. It's kind of just like the void. You know, if the item said like a radiant item or a special item, that would be different, but it doesn't say that as right now. I haven't, you know, I'll obviously let you know if there's an update to this. And then finally for Targon, you receive a Targonian Blessing at 40 health. That, I have no idea what that means. I'm going to have to ask my buddy Nick, because he plays on the PBE right now. You know, a Targonian blessing kind of sounds like how admins work right now, to where you get a special like buff to your team. And obviously this is for, you know, this is for the people that are like, all right, I know I'm not too good at the game, or I don't win in the early stage of the game. I'm a late game player. So that 40% health mark for their teams, I think it's for their teams. I don't think it's for them overall. Let's see. Receive it. See, that's where the wording is confusing. Are my units getting this each time they hit 40% health, or am I just getting it straight up when my character reaches 40% health? That's what I'd like clarified here. Either way, if your team's not that strong, obviously you're going to be getting this blessing a lot more often than somebody who is strong. That's why it makes me think this is when your character is at 40% health. So, you know, you're at like, you know, you're a half health basically. When your health drops down to like a little under 50, that's when you'll get this blessing. Huh. I'm interested to read more about that. That might be also a favorite of mine, because that could change the game right there. But take note, everybody gets this. It's not just you. So if those other people who are winning eventually reach 40% health, they'll get a blessing too. And that might really dampen your parade, but it'll make you come back. It'll give you a chance. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 13.12 patch notes, what's in it, what I like about it. We won't have time to talk about the LCS walkout update, so I'll have to save that for next episode. This is the Stay Connected Podcast on 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman. Don't go away. All right, welcome back to the Stay Connected Podcast on 93.5. We are Fox Sports. If you're just joining us now, we talked about the TFT Set 9 update, the main mechanic of it, which is the most important part because it's going to be a game changer. You know, they're adding these region portals. I'm really excited about it. Moving on to patch 13.12 for League of Legends. I got to say, this patch is going to be pretty important. You know, looking at it now, after it's coming out, I think it was delayed like 24 hours, so it's going to be out very soon. It might even be out by the time, yeah, it'll be out. It'll definitely be out by the time this episode is out. And by the time you're hearing it now online, if you're listening online, which you can do anytime, anywhere on our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com. However, if it's out right now as I'm saying this, I don't know, because I don't play League of Legends at work. I know some of my friends like to play TFT at work, but I do not do that. All right, so what is happening in the League community? Well, first of all, there's some pretty important things that I've noticed gameplay-wise from last patch going into this one. You know, one of those is Rell got her mid-scope update. Pretty good update. I feel like I've definitely noticed that she's back into this meta because everybody is playing her. You know, it's hard to get away from her. I was playing as an AD carry trying to run away from this support, and I couldn't do it. No matter what I did, I just kept getting slowed by her. It was pretty annoying, actually, thinking about it. Riot definitely seems, or at least they said they seemed happy with the changes that are coming in 2023. They don't want to slow League down, despite, you know, some of the changes they've made to, like, tower armor and stuff like that. They want the game to feel like it's keeping the pace with a new, fresh coat of paint. You know, I feel like there are some things they could probably perfect a little bit. But they're trying their best, you know. We'll leave out the whole walkout situation, because I feel like the esports scene and the game itself should be considered two different entities. You know, one does have an effect on the other, of course, as everything does. But, you know, as for patch notes go, this affects all of us. They're trying to actually make some changes to overperformers from ranked and pro play. You know, that could involve Zeri, Gragas, Lulu, even their newest champion, Milio or Milo, however you want to pronounce it. I say Milio. Especially Yumi. Yumi got a rework too, and I think that's an important aspect that they need to look at. Some of these champions who are dominating every game they're playing, the high win rate ones, you know, with the recent item changes, MF, Kog'Maw, and Jhin are some of the best AD carries you can go, and they're absolutely busted. You know, you'll have a Jhin half health kill you just because he has two items. It's a little insane. I don't know exactly what they're going to do about Yomu's Ghostblade in particular, because that's the item that's kind of shaken things up a little bit. Though, let's go over some of the buff champions that I do like to see. Ashe, first of all. I love Ashe as a champion. You know, when she became a support, or possible support, I think it really made the game feel interesting with the double AD carry. Though, I could see how it's annoying, because she has kind of taken a sidestep from her main role as an AD carry. These new items have brought her back a little bit, but now with the buffs, she's going to be even more popular. Her Q is getting bonus damage from 115 to 120%. So is her W base damage from 10 to 70 to 20 to 80. And her R ability power ratio has increased from 100 to 120%. Basically, she's going to be hitting like a truck. So is Gnossus. I love Gnossus, but, like, he gets countered so easily. You just gotta play safe and scale. Now he's gonna be able to hit a little bit harder and for a little bit longer, because his passive lifesteal is being increased from 9 to 19 to 11 to 21%. That's a whole 3% increase. That might be the difference between winning an engagement and losing an engagement. His R cooldown is also changing from a flat 120 to 120 going down to 80 seconds. That's pretty important. I already think Gnossus' cooldown is short as it is, but the fact that it's going to be even shorter, very interesting. Very interesting for a split push Gnossus. They also plan on bringing Ryze and Orianna back. These are two champions that, you know, at one point dominated the meta and are still strong, but are now going to be stronger this patch. You know, specifically Orianna, only her R is getting a little bit of a tweak. It's going to be her ability power ratio, which is increasing by 5% to a total of 95%. And the base damage is going to be going up later game. So she's still going to be a, you know, late game champion from 450 to 550. I know. You hear that number, you're just like, oh, that's just 100 increased. What's the difference? It matters. It matters. It does. It really does. Ryze, I don't really care about it. I don't like Ryze. Who cares? they were going to change Victor, but according to what I'm reading here, his changes have been removed from this update. You know, I think that's the best call of action, because Victor, at one point in history, was a very strong and a very well-liked champion. You know, he was strong. His abilities sometimes didn't make sense, but I wouldn't say it was overpowered. Then they overpowered him. Then they put him into the ground with nerfs. Now they're trying to figure out which way they really want to go with him. You know, he hasn't been, I think, the most popular pick of recent, but he's still a strong top contender. Moving on, the only other champion I'm seeing here that I really care about is Zeri. Yeah, Zeri and, as we talked about, Kog'Maw. You know, Kog'Maw's W percentage health damage reduced, it's going to be reduced to a flat 3.6%, so it's not going to scale anymore according to this. I like that. You know, the scaling Kog'Maw that just one-shots you at one point, it's not fair. It's not fair, it's not fun. Kai'Sa, then, her attack damage per level is going to be increased from 2 to 2.6. not too bad if you ask me there. Obviously, there are going to be more updates that we don't know about or that I can't see right now. If anyone from Riot's listening, yo, you want to throw my boy Mordekaiser a little bit of a buff, please? Thank you. I'll pass you a 20 on the way out. Mordekaiser, I think, needs an update. It's gone too long without seeing some love and some hate. You know, there's some things broken about him that probably should be fixed. All right, that's it for this episode. Next episode, we'll talk about that LCS walkout, see where we're at, because we're getting closer to when the games are supposed to officially be happening. You know, it's next week, actually. So if they do play, you'll hear me talking about it. And if they don't, maybe that's an indication that the summer split isn't happening. We'll find out next time on the Stay Connected podcast right here on 93.5. We are Fox Sports. Everybody have a happy Sunday.